Will you turn with me now to the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, and verses 14 to 16. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, and verses 14 to 16. There are a great number of passages in the Bible which, for sheer audaciousness and depth of meaning, take our breath away. Here are two such. Shall we just read from verse 12? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. But, taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. Evidently, in Macedonia, the sweet savour of the knowledge of Christ was made manifest in an amazing way. For this eloquent outburst seems almost to sear the paper as it comes hot from the pen of the writer when Paul recollects what happened there. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, when they had gone, Paul and Silas had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They came down, verse 8, to Troas. And in verse 10, evidently Luke has joined them too. We endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. They come first to the harbour Neapolis, Philippi being 10 miles distant, and here the great Roman road commenced from Neapolis right to Rome itself. This was the first European soil trodden by Paul. Philippi was the scene of the decisive battle which ended the Roman Republic in 42 BC. It became a colony, and although the trade and the governing were done by the Greeks, the wise emperor Augustus established a colony of old soldiers of Rome who influenced the opinions of the native people accordingly. Paul's visit here commences with the converting and baptizing of Lydia. Truly this was a grand beginning. But in verse 16, of divination, a translation of the Greek word pouthon, meaning a python, which according to Greek mythology, the python was a serpent destroyed by Apollo, who hence took the name of Pythias, and the term Python had now become a soothsaying demon, as in the case of this slave girl, who had an evil spirit as control. She will be called today a medium. And just as they are worth a lot of money to their sponsors today, so here. He recognized the mission of the disciples and caused them no small inconvenience until Paul, worn out with annoyance, performs the miracle that lands them at the whipping post, the stocks, and the innermost dungeon. Despite the stripes and discomfort, we read Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. These hymns were possibly the Hallel Psalms, numbers 113 to 118. And there are several verses here which ring out just as they did in that prison when Paul and Silas were singing them. Then the earthquake, the jailer about to kill himself, Paul's cry, the man's trembling question. He was evidently under deep conviction of sin, shaken to his foundations. He was ready to be told of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he believed, not only himself, but also all that were with him in his house. Now thanks be unto God, writes Paul, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved, and in them that perish. For the one we are the savour of death unto death, and the other the savour of life unto life. In the ancient world, one of the most stirring and spectacular events was the Roman triumph accorded to the victor on the battlefield. When the hero who had won renown in some struggle for the empire returned to the city, his entry became a pageant. Riding in a chariot, he made his way amid the plaudits of the crowd, along the Via Sacra, up the slope of the Capitol, to the temple of Jupiter that crowned its summit. Behind him marched his troops, bearing the spoils of victory. Around him, chained to his chariot wheels, came the captives who had bitten the dust in battle. Garlands and showers of petals were rained upon him from open windows, and the fragrance of crushed flowers was upon the breeze. But the perfume that was strongest came from the censers that were carried by soldiers in the triumphant train. As these censers were swung from side to side, their fragrance was wafted abroad, and the streets were redolent with the sweet-smelling incense. To the hero and to all the patriots of Rome, that perfume was thrice blessed. But to the captives, to whom journey's end would mean the headsman's block, that same perfume was nauseous with the savour of death. Paul's campaign to preach the gospel in Europe had been like a triumphant progress in which not he, but his master, had been the central figure. God had made Paul's life a constant pageant for Christ. He maketh manifest savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul's part is the incense swinger, diffusing the perfume of the knowledge of the Christ. Now a man that swings a censer and wafts clouds of perfume as he walks will soon become impregnated with the same aroma. So he writes We are unto God a sweet savour of Christ. Do we not know lives that are most fitly described as fragrant? Here is the secret of that subtle perfume. He who lives with it will certainly catch something of it on his garments. Finally, Paul has one other thought about the pageant. Behind the chariot came the warriors who had fought and helped to achieve victory for Rome. They had escaped from urgent death on the battlefield and are restored once again unto life. Around the chariot wheels are captives who have escaped the field of battle, but who are soon to be put to death. That Via Sacra, along which the pageant is passing, is the way of them that are saved and the way of them that are perishing. To both, the perfume is all pervasive. But with what a difference! The warriors behind the chariot, the incense speaks of salvation and deliverance. To those around the wheel, it has the odor of the charnel house. So, says Paul, this fragrance is unto them that are saved and them that perish. For the one, the savour of death unto death, and to the other, the savour of life unto life. May God grant that we may be numbered among those that follow in his train as overcomers through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we may be so impregnated with the savour of him that the delights and pleasures of the world may seem to us as dross or stubble. Now thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord.